Well, good morning to each one of you. I'm thankful this morning to be in God's house with God's people. And of all the blessings we have, sometimes we forget the blessing that it is to come and sit quietly among God's people and learn of Him and hear Him speak. And so I'm thankful this morning for that blessing. Also thankful for those of you who are visiting us. Glad you've chose to be among us, and welcome you here. And may you find, may you find peace and God's blessing on your life. And invite you back as you have opportunity. For a message this morning, I want to use a psalm as a text. You can turn to Psalm 77. We're going to read that psalm. The title of the sermon this morning is The Value of Memories. Maybe somewhat of a different style of sermon. But one of the things that, I guess as I grow older and we spend these holidays, we gather with family, and we're at the point in life where we can start looking back 20 years, 30 years, when we gather with family, we have a lot of memories. And I guess this time as I gathered with my immediate family, I noticed that more. We spent a lot of time talking about things that happened in days gone by. And maybe it was, my mom has done a real good job at creating picture books of things that happened 10, 15, 20 years ago. And so you look through some of those and it brings back old memories and things that happened. And my younger brothers and I visited a place where they used to all work when they were younger, and they spent a lot of time reminiscing with the business owner there about the old days of things they did when he was starting the business. And it was fascinating to hear them talk of some of the things they do, scraped by, and things they took risks and did. And so it was in that experience of memories, I began to ponder, what is the value of memories? Is there any spiritual value for memories? What does the Bible tell us about memories? And it's interesting. We remember some things clearly, but some details fade, and we wonder, you know, why everything pieced together, and yet someone else will remember the details. And so, what does a person do with his memories? How do those memories impact my life? What does the Bible say about our memory and the memories we have? And what is there a biblical perspective on memories and any spiritual value? What should a Christian remember? Are there things we should forget? And so as those questions came to mind, I dug into this subject, and I'll share with you what I've learned. It's not a complete comprehensive, but it's some musings and some scriptures that show us what God wants the Christian to remember and what the value of memory is. I chose this psalm, Psalm 77. This is a psalm of Asaph, and he begins out in distress and in discouragement and in trouble, but he ends up remembering. And I want to read through this psalm, but notice this. We get to the middle of this psalm about verse 5, 6, 8, 9, and then 10 through 11, 12, 13, he remembers old things and how God worked in his life, and it brought to him reassurance and restored his faith. And if there's any spirit, and we'll get to this, I'm going to use this psalm later as we look at some of the points, but one of the spiritual values of memories is that our faith can be bolstered and restored as we recall old memories of God working and God moving in our lives. Let's read this psalm. Psalm 77. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee. They were afraid, the depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water, the sky sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven, the lightnings lightened the world, the earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And so we have Asaph in his distress and in his musing, searching in his heart and asking questions, and then meditating on what God had done in the past and restoring a measure of security and a measure of faith in his heart. And so the goal of this message this morning is to learn what the Scripture says about our memories and what value they are to us as people and in a spiritual sense. So first point I'd like to think about, our memory is a gift from God. What is our memory? Well, the dictionary has two definitions that were relevant. One, the faculty by which the mind stores and remembers information. So it's the process of how we store information and remember it. And so each of us has a unique memory, but we all have one. And some of us remember places and things, and some people remember faces. And there's a physical process that goes on by which the mind stores and remembers information. And the second definition is something remembered from the past, a recollection. So that would be a memory, an event or a person or a thing that is remembered. And you could say, one of my earliest memories about this and this and this is such. You can think back about a certain time in your life and you can recall something. So that's a memory. Memory is not a physical part of our body, like our hand or our ears or our hair. It's not something you can touch or find, but it is a physical, it's part of our physical body, and that is in our mind. It's our brain processes enable that memory. And so a memory is a process handled by our brains whereby we can recall objects, sounds, tastes, smells, information, and experiences. So it's a physical process whereby we can remember things and recall things, all these different things. And scientists are still trying to discover the physical function of the brain and how it works in storing and recalling these things. It's still somewhat of a mystery, the actual physical process that enables memory. Some of the articles I read on this say your memory is really made up of a group of systems that each play a different role in creating, storing, and recalling your memories. So it takes intaking information, the brain storing it in various places, and then a process to recall it. When the brain processes information normally, all of these different systems work together perfectly to provide cohesive thought. And so God has created in our minds, in our brains, the ability to remember, the ability to store information. And if you think back to your young days, you can go back until you're, you know, as far back as you can go, and that in somewhere in the recesses of your brain is stored information that you can recall. Humans have the power to store vast amounts of information and experiences throughout their lives. All we must do is think about it, and we can recall these thoughts and experiences on demand with the use of our memory. So I didn't intend this to be a science lesson this morning, but it does. It was very fascinating to me as I studied what is memory, how does it work, that it really is part of our physical being. God has created it embedded in our brain processes, the physical parts that enable memory. There's different types of memory. There's sensory memory, which we remember sensory information, such as things you see, hear, touch, or smell. And so we remember what those things are like, what something feels like, what something smells like. And that memory enables us to identify these things. There's working memory, which is the immediate and small amount of information used to perform cognitive tasks. And so it's the memory that you're using to do things in the immediate present. Then there's short-term memory, which allows you to recall specific information for a brief period. So it's something you remember, and then you go about your work, and you can recall what you did a couple hours ago or a little bit ago, or the short-term memory is somewhat the same as working memory, but there's short-term memory, and then there's long-term memory. One definition of long-term memory was any memory you can recall after 30 seconds. Now, there's a lot of different subcategories of long-term memory, and they claim there's no limit to the amount of information that can be stored in long-term memory. But our long-term memories are made up of things that stick, we say, things that impress upon us, events that were either exciting or catastrophic, people we meet, things we become familiar with, things that made an impression, we call it. Those things are all embedded in our long-term memory. And the process of memory begins with encoding, and then proceeds to storage and eventually retrieval. So three different things about how God created this gift of memory to work. So encoding starts with perception, or that's the combination of our senses working together. What you hear, what you see, smell, taste, all these things work together, and these sensations travel to the brain and then are encoded and stored. And so if you go to a place, you might, say a restaurant, or even back to your mom's kitchen, and she makes a certain dish, and it's that smell and that place and all those things, you can recall what you're going to have for lunch that day. These things are then stored in storage, stored in short-term memory, and gradually transferred to long-term memory, and they're not in our conscious thought. So you're not always thinking about your memories. They're stored. They lie somewhat dormant in our unconscious memory. Then there's the retrieval. So information that is stored in the unconscious part of our brain is brought to the conscious mind at will. So as we think back, and there's triggers that we can go through to bring back memories. And again, if you go to a certain place or time or whatever, there's certain memories that will come back. Certain things will trigger memories. And so we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that is the physical side of our memory. God has created that in our bodies and enabled that process. And it is we need to see it as a gift from God. Our memories define who we are and how I identify myself and others. It has a direct bearing on how we function and how we make decisions. One quote that I thought was very good said, "Memory binds us to places that forget us and to moments that no one else values." So memory is unique to each one of us. We each have a unique memory. You could have multiple people involved in an event or time or place, and even in this church service, and you can all go home with a different memory about this church service because of who you are. We're all unique. Another quote by an ancient writer said, "One of God's greatest gifts to the human spirit, without which neither life nor experience could have any meaning, is the memory." And so if you consider how critical memory is to our lives, it takes memory to remember your name. your family members, what you learned through the years, who people are, who your friends are, who your church family is, what objects look like, where you live or work. And so all the things, basically everything we know is stored in memory, and it's so critical that we don't even think about it. And occasionally you hear of someone who loses their memory due to a physical problem, a physical issue, maybe an accident or an injury, or even the aging process can sometimes make someone's memory significantly reduced or non-existent. And the difficulty that brings to a person's life and to the lives of their family and caretakers when someone loses their memory. And so what if we had no memory? Every second, minute, and hour would be a new thing with no memory of the previous, no memory of prior experiences. And so memory is critical to who we are and to how we function. It really is critical. And God has invested in our physical capacity this ability to remember. It's a God-given gift. Memory has the power to shape our lives. Memory can bring us joy, nostalgia, and even pain. Memory should be treasured and learned from. And memories have a profound impact on our present and future lives. As we recall experiences, it shapes how we respond to current situations. And a lot of the choices you make, whether you think through it or not, you go through a process of memory that helps to determine this decision you make. One example was Mary, the mother of Jesus, after his birth. In Luke 2:18 and 19, it says this, "And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." This is the shepherds talking about what they had seen. "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." Memory. She was storing them up, pondering them, thinking about them. It was her life experiences. Pondered is translated in other versions as treasured up. After the trip to Jerusalem and missing Jesus on the return, and then finding him with the teachers in the temple, in Luke 2:51, it says this, "And he went down with them," speaking of Jesus, "and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart." Again, Mary observing and storing up these things, the memories of a mother. And it was the storing up of these events and the remembering of them as Jesus' life unfolded that gave her an understanding of Jesus and his work and what he was called to do. And so it's events in our life, in our lives, that shape who we are, and the memory of those is critical to our choices, as I mentioned before. And so you think about all the things that are stored in your memory that influence who you are today, the training you were given as a child, school days, the lessons, the teachers that influenced you, stored in your memory. The day you got your driver's license and you learned how to drive and you remember how. Most of us get in a vehicle and drive without trying to think about how to do it. It's stored in memory. Or maybe more important things like committing your life to Christ. There's a memory of when you did that and when you became a Christian and chose to walk the narrow way. Then there's baptism and joining the church, and there's a memory associated with that. Maybe it's your engagement or your wedding. There's memories associated with that. Travel, places you've gone, learning a skill, mission trips, and all these events, experiences collect in our memory and become a shaping force in our thoughts, decisions, and choices. And so it's this gift from God, this memory, that makes us who we are. Memory also enables us to hold commitments and promises. If you think about it, if you had no memory, would you be able to hold commitments, keep promises? A commitment you make becomes a memory that guides your life. It's an anchor point that is a foundation for our lives. And so as we make commitments and we make promises, they become stored in our memory and they become an anchor point and a guide. Commitments and promises are empty if they are not remembered and kept. And in Ecclesiastes 5, verses 4 and 5, Solomon writes this, "When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay." And so he puts a premium on commitments and promises. And if you think about our lives and the commitments and promises you make, I mentioned that driver's license. You had to go through a process, and you commit to following the laws so that you can keep that privilege. If you don't follow the laws, you don't keep your commitment, you can lose the privilege. We have baptism vows. When you're baptized, you make vows, and those become a guide and an anchor point. They should become something that you, a commitment you keep. We have wedding vows. They are a commitment that anchor our life and that we must keep. And so the memory of those shapes our lives. We have business contracts and commitments. And those things determine the path we take. And on it goes. Commitments and promises we make on a less important level to each other. We say we're going to do something, we do it. But what if we forgot those things? What if God didn't, if we didn't have this memory and we simply forgot? So God has invested in us a gift of memory so that these commitments and promises shape who we are. And sometimes there's special events around some of these things. I think they have their purpose and they're good and right, but sometimes it's one of the main purposes is that it creates a unique imprint around that promise, around that commitment. For example, a baptism service. We have a service. It's something special. We are making a vow and commitment, and so we have a special service. A wedding, same thing. It's a special service because there's vows and commitments being made, and all those, the special event and service around those things helps us to anchor those memories and keep them. So memory is key to keeping promises and commitments. Memory is a gift. But in that gift, we have a choice in which memories are allowed to dominate our conscious thought and influence our demeanor and choices. And so over your lifetime, you store up a vast amount of information and experiences, and the older you are, the bigger that catalog becomes. And all you need to do is think about a certain era, time, or event, and whatever is stored there and that you can recall, you can bring up those prior thoughts and experiences on demand with the use of your memory. And depending on your personality, some will tend to collect and recall the negative, and you will dwell in the negative memories, the negative and the unpleasant. And it can tend to be every slight is filed away and every negative thing is filed away and kept there, and it's stored, and you refresh it, and you file it away, and you keep it there. And so that you live, you could tend to live in the negative. And living in the negative and the unpleasant and the bad memories can cause a person to react whenever the cause of that slight or unpleasant memory is encountered again. And living in the negative and unpleasant can cause mental and emotional turmoil and may cause the person to react negatively, and often results in suspicion, resentment, and hate. Others may be more prone to positivity, tend to collect and recall the positive and pleasant memories. And these memories are good. They can restore faith and confidence in life in the difficult and trying times. Maybe sometimes it can create overconfidence and over-optimism. But there's two choices you can make. And in this text passage that we read, we see an example of the battle between negative and positive thoughts. We see him starting out being troubled and refusing to be comforted and complaining and being overwhelmed. In verses 1 through 3, we see all those things. In verses 4 through 9, he cannot speak. He's questioning God. Has God forgotten to be gracious? But in his thinking and in his memory, he chooses Verses 10 through 20, he chooses, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. He chooses to remember the good things and dwell on the positive events where God led him and took care of him and provided for him. And that was one reason I chose this passage, because it's the picture of being at one place and yet choosing to be at another place in our memories. He said he made a conscious choice. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of thy work and talk of thy doings. He chose to think about those things that restored his faith and confidence, and not to dwell in the doubt and the negativity. And so today we have a choice in what memories we dwell in. Now, I did not say you can choose your memories. I want to be clear here. Most of our memories are made up of, I say most, there's a lot of events and choices that we make that create a memory, and we do have control over it, but there are memories that we have very little control over. They're brought upon us by other people's choices, by simply the disappointment and brokenness of human experience. And then there's positive memories that we are blessed and God chooses to pour things into our life that we don't deserve. And so we have both the negative and the positive, and we cannot necessarily choose what memories are in there or what experiences we had, but we can choose on what we dwell and what we recall and what we tend to turn over and store and file and make sure is refreshed. And so the question is, will I be one who collects and dwells in the negative or the positive? We all have negative experiences. Do we commit them to God and keep our faith in him as Asaph did here? Surely I will remember the works of the Lord and thy wonders of old. And so we have a choice. Philippians 4 verse 8, when we talk about thought, this verse comes up, but it's a fitting here. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the peace of God shall be with you. And so the peace of God being with us is a direct bearing on what we choose to allow our minds to think on. And these qualities can be applied to our memories, things that are just, pure, lovely, and so forth. And so memory is a gift from God, and you and I have a choice of what we will do with it. Moving to another part of the message here, the next part, I would just like to consider things the Christian should remember. What does the Bible tell us as we walk the Christian life? What are things the Christian should remember? First off, we need to remember God and his works, the unrivaled nature of God. And if you'll bear with me here, I've just collected various verses. So this is reading through some verses about the different points here. The unrivaled nature of God, and we see that in our text passage in verse 13. The end of verse 13, he says, "Who is so great a God as our God?" And so we need to remember that our God, the true God, the living God, there's none greater. He is unrivaled. He is unequaled. In Isaiah 46, 8 through 9, remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. And so we need to, in our minds, as we think about God, we need to understand that he is supreme. There is none like him. The Christian needs to remember that. We then need to remember God's word. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. And I just want to commend all of you that took the time to commit that memory passage to your memories during revivals. I was pleased by all of you that did that. And so it's valuable to memorize and to hide God's word in our heart. Christian is called also to remember God's commandments. Psalm 119, verse 52. I remember thy judgments, O Lord. I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Psalm 103, verse 17 through 18. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. So it speaks of remembering God's commandments and the blessing of his mercy on those that do. And in Numbers 15, he said this, and it shall be unto you for a fringe, speaking of the garments he was requiring them to wear, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a-warring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. So God calls his people to remember his commandments, remember his requirements. We should remember God's acts and miracles. And I mentioned that in verses 11 through 12, it is, I believe, in our text. Asaph remembering what God had done in the past, his wonders, his works. And I think in the verses 16 through 19, he's referring, or through 20, he's referring to God parting the Red Sea and leading them through the children of Israel out of Egypt. The great miracle that was that led them to escape Pharaoh and escape Egypt, taking them through the waters. God's protection and miracles when dealing with his people. We're to remember God's covenant with all living creatures. Genesis 9, verse 16, and the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every creature, and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. Speaking of the rainbow being put in place after the flood, and God's promise that he will not destroy the earth again with water. And we're called to remember that. It's an everlasting covenant, not just with man, but with every living creature of all flesh. God will not destroy the earth with a flood. We need to remember God's work in our lives. Psalm 145 or 143, 5 and 4. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as in a thirsty land, Selah. And Lamentations 3, 21 through 25. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. And so it speaks of remembering God's working and moving in our lives and recalling God's mercy, which will give us hope. And so we can have hope because we have seen God's mercy in the past. We have experienced this, and we can recall it to mind. We can go in our memories and we can remember God's working. Whenever we face tough situations or overwhelmed, we need to look back at how God worked things out in the past and see his mercy toward us, and then our hope can be renewed. We need to remember God's grace and his reconciliation. Ephesians 2, 11 through 13. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. What a precious promise that those of us, the Gentiles who were once aliens and kept out of the commonwealth of Israel, they were strangers from the covenant. They weren't included in the covenant. And it says they had no hope. Yet, being now brought into the family of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's never forget the privilege we have of experiencing God's grace and his reconciliation for humankind through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We need to remember that. Which takes us to the next point. We need to remember things of Jesus, the salvation Christ provided. We're called to remember that in Luke 2, 20, Luke 2:22, verse 19 is talking about communion here when he shared the Last Supper with his disciples. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it unto them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And so as we partake in communion, it really is a service of memory. And it's a memory that we haven't been there and seen it in a physical way, but it's through the eye of faith. Every communion, we are to remember that the broken body and the shed blood of Christ, that redeemed us. We are called to remember that, to bring it to mind, to do it in remembrance of him, of his resurrection. Luke 24:6-8, "He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words." And see, these were words of the angels spoken to the women who came to Jesus' tomb after he was risen. And he said, "Remember how he said he was going to rise again." And they remembered his words. And then in 2 Timothy 2:7-8, says this, "Consider what I say, and the Lord gave thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." And so we are instructed to remember the resurrection of Christ. He is not dead. He died. He shed his blood, but he is not dead anymore. He is alive. He is risen. And so we are called to remember that we serve a risen Lord, a living Lord today. We're also called to remember the teachings of Jesus in John 14:26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Jesus speaking here to the disciples, but applies to the believer today. The Holy Spirit is sent into the heart of the believer to remind us of Jesus' teachings. And as we study the word and hide it in our hearts, he can help us remember the teachings of Jesus when we need it. And so we are to remember Christ and his work. We are to remember the labor and wisdom of prior generations. Now, this is an interesting one. In Deuteronomy 32:7, it says, "Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee." And so we're encouraged and called to remember what has happened in days gone by. Now, some people enjoy history, and they enjoy studying everything that happened. And some people take almost they don't want anything to do with history. It's all about the present. But really, history and generational wisdom are important. What happened in the past has a direct bearing today on where we are, what we believe, and who we are. Where we are, what we believe, and who we are. And so as you think about why you live in Cumberland County, there's a history of how your family got here. What brought you to this place today? There's a history about that, where you are. There's a history about what you believe. Many, many years of teaching and buildup of belief and conviction have influenced what we believe today and who we are, how we practice those things. The direct outworking of what we believe is largely influenced by history and what others have chosen in the past. And he's telling us, ask your father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. And so we do well to listen to father, we do well to listen to elders among us, and consider their experience and advice. It's a scriptural principle. In Jeremiah 6:16, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." And so Jeremiah here speaking of the old paths, referring to the tested and true, the righteous and the good. And he's telling the people, go back to what God wants you to do, what is truth and what is right and what has brought blessing upon you. And they said, we don't want to do that. We're not going to do what the old timers did. And too many times in my own heart and in our people's hearts, we can have the same attitude. We just say, we don't want to do that. We don't want to walk therein. It's old. Times change, technology changes, but the principles of right and wrong and the foundations that brought blessing to our forefathers do not change. And so we are called to remember the labor and wisdom of the generations prior to us. Remember what your father and what your elders say. Another one, we're called to remember each other. Paul writing many times, and I just picked one verse in Philippians 1, 3 to 5, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And so Paul was writing to the saints at Philippi, but you can find this greeting in other places where he says, I'm thankful. I thank God when I remember you, when I remember my brothers over in this church, when I remember the people that I fellowship with, the people that are close to me, the people that have the same goals. So we need to remember each other. And he says he remembered them in prayer, and he made requests with joy. So we need to remember our brothers and sisters in prayer. Life is real. The devil is working hard. Our humanity is weak. Our sinful nature, hard to overcome. We live in a fallen world, and we need to remember each other in prayer. And we need to do it with joy. And we need to be thankful for the fellowship of the saints, for the fellowship of this group of believers, and the fellowship of other believers in similar churches and similar places. We need to remember each other. Is this how I view my brothers and sisters in Christ? Do I remember them in prayer? And so those are a few things that the scripture calls us to remember, the Christian should remember. I want to switch thoughts real quickly here yet and look at just a couple more things that should be forgotten. So we're called to remember, but there are some things we should forget. Well, there's the reality that humans do forget. Ecclesiastes 1, 10 through 11, is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There's no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. And so it's just Solomon writing about the reality of the human tendency to forget. And one generation comes and goes, and the next generation tends to make the same mistakes because they just forget what happened. It's not translated. It's not told. And we tend to lose the progress and the changes and the battles won that generations years ago made. And so we need to work against the reality of forgetting. We need to be intentional about remembering. And so this is a call to maybe not forget. But Paul, writing in Philippians 3, said he calls us to forget what lies behind. Philippians 3, 13 through 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I think he's speaking about the Christian journey, the Christian walk, and not being bound by past mistakes and regrets. Thoughts of the too much failure. What's the use of continuing? I can never be good enough. And he writes about all the things he could have done better and failures he had. But he said, I forget those things. I don't let those things pull me down, and I keep pressing forward. Not that there is no memory of the past, but rather we choose to focus our minds on pressing forward. Pressing on to what is good and right. Reaching out. Reaching forward for the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God. And so we need to, in our Christian walk, put our failures, put our past under the blood, and reach forward. We're called to forget the old man and his deeds. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 18. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So when Christ comes in to a person's life, the work of Christ makes him new. The old life and the old way of thinking are replaced by the new from Christ. So the old man and his deeds must be forgotten. We have the blessing that God forgets our sin, and there's lots of verses. I'll just pick two here. Psalm 25, verse 7, "Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord." This was a cry of, I believe, David, to not remember his transgressions or the mistakes of his youth. And Psalm 103, verse 11, For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. Hebrews 10, 16 through 17. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And so God has promised to the believer, to those who have repented, put their sins under the blood, the things that were wrong and were against God's nature, we've all committed. But when repented of and put under the blood, God promises to forget them, to remember them no more. And so then we are called, because of that, to forgive others' trespasses. Matthew 6, verse 15, "But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And Ephesians 4, 32, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And so because of God's promise to forget our sins and our transgressions, we need to forgive others. And since we have been forgiven, we must also forgive. Well, the Bible also speaks of a time when the old earth and the old heavens will not be remembered. In Isaiah 65, he writes about this. "Because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from mine eyes, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy." And so there's coming a point when the struggles of life, of earth life, and the troubles that we experience today will someday be forgotten. And those who are saved and redeemed can be part of the new heaven and the new earth, where all these things will not be remembered. And God instead will create a place of gladness and rejoicing. And so those are some things that we should be forgetting. Just one thought in closing yet. What are some memories that a Christian should make? We need to be intentional about memories we make. You see, our choices and actions that we take today will create a memory for us in the future. It will also create a memory of our character. You will become known and remembered by the choices you make today. And so the Christian needs to think carefully about the choices he makes, because it creates a memory. It becomes saved in our memories. Proverbs 10, verse 7 says this, "The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot." And so it's the reality that those who choose righteousness and joy and the blessing of living for Christ, the just, their memories will be blessed. Compare that to someone who lives for self, pursues selfishness, pursues his own interests, makes bad choices, and it leaves a poor memory. It leaves a rot. And we have the blessing of those that have gone before us. Maybe family members that are no longer with us, parents, grandparents, those that have lived their lives righteously, and their memory is blessed. And so the burden upon us this morning is that we today are making those same choices and holding truth in its rightful place and making choices based on truth and having good relationships with our family and healthy brotherhood relationships and good interactions with our neighbors, positive experiences in our family, living righteously so that our memory is blessed. We need to live We need to work to live righteously so that our legacy will be a blessing to those that come, to our own selves, but also to the coming generation. And so in closing, the Bible encourages a balanced approach to memories, and it shows the value that memory is to us, the gift it is, how it makes up who we are. And we need to be balanced in our approach to them, cherishing the good, learning from the past, not allowing negative memories to hinder us in our spiritual growth and progress. But memories are a valuable part of our life as humans and our spiritual lives as well. And so let's be thankful in this time of Thanksgiving. Let's be thankful for the gift of memory and create memories that will benefit us and future generations. And let us allow the memories we have to draw us closer to God and the truth of his word and work in our lives. May God bless you as you endeavor to serve him and create a legacy that will be blessed. Let's pray.